This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, as the smoke is starting to clear up finally in the Pacific Northwest where I live, Oregon, Washington, and parts of California, pretty blanketed in smoke. I heard that being outside, the air quality in Portland, Oregon actually was the worst in the world. It was like smoking a pack of cigarettes in one day, just being outside for the day. Josh Hancock joining us, the man with the growly voice who sounds like he's been smoking a pack of cigarettes a day for the last 10 years. Joining us.
I've been enjoying the smoke because it is like smoking a pack of cigarettes. I quit 20 years ago, but it's really nice to be smoking again.
Did you smoke? Did you really smoke?
I did smoke, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. We've known each other about that long. That's funny. That is funny.
I think I had long quit by the time that I started doing the show with you.
Well, no wonder you have such a nice voice. I mean, a voice like you do.
I mean, I headed north to go up to this shop on Saturday. And for those of you in Los Angeles who head up the 5, as Alan used to do to go to Oregon,
right.
I got to the Magic Mountain area.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that amusement park. I got to Magic Mountain. I could not see 3 car lengths ahead of me.
Really? Wow.
And turned around.
Wow.
I don't want to go any further because there's some fires up there. There's actually a fire 10 miles from where I live over in the Burbank Heights.
Honestly, what is going on? I think they're being set personally. They're catching more and more arsonists.
Well,
but
they are. That guy in Oregon was just awful. They got him, and then he still went out and set fires. I mean,
it's unreal.
What is he thinking?
Well, obviously, he's not thinking. You know, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And sadly, we fail to plan for people like this that are lawless. And the problem that we have right now is that, you said it, they're releasing them again. So I just feel like that, you know, we're missing the boat here somehow. The planning is bad. All right, let's talk about some automotive news with the Hollywood car consultant himself.
Well, that's my own. I do want to comment on the fact that it's all over the news that, you know, GM just inked a deal with electric truck manufacturer Nikola. And as we know, that was Mr. Tesla's first name.
You know what?
Can you believe?
I know.
Nikola Tesla. And there's going to be 2 electric vehicles after his name?
No,
I mean... Are you ready to drive an Edison?
Right, I know. But Josh, first of all, I know what you're doing is because of the smoke in the air, you want the Nikola, which is a cough drop. This is Nikola, okay? Tesla.
I didn't want that at all, but you were going to do it, so I let you have it.
Nikola.
So the thing is that they announced the deal. Now, General Motors had gone after another electric truck manufacturer by the name of Rivian.
Rivian, yes, I know. You have a real problem today with your because of the smoke inhalation. I get it. Rivian.
Rivian.
Rivian, go ahead.
Dying, but don't worry.
See?
And the problem with that acquisition, because GM wanted to acquire them, was that company that begins with an R, Rivian.
Rivian, yes.
They did not want to be acquired. They wanted investment. They needed money, but they did not want to give up control. And Mary Barra, CEO of GM, it was an all-or-nothing deal. And so Rivian backed away, and Ford moved in and gave them $500 million.
Good Lord.
So GM has kind of been reeling because they don't have a partner in the electric world. So fast forward, here we are with Nikola. And the problem is that 2 days after they announced the deal, there's an investigation into Nikola misrepresenting their finances.
Oh, jeez. Don't tell me.
Who knows whether it's true or not, but it certainly didn't look great for General Motors in the news they didn't do full due diligence.
All right. Well, hang tight. We got to take a little break. Time to get him a Nikola. we'll take a break. Wow. General Motors. Well, I'm sure the truth will come out. That's all that matters. Nikola, an electric automobile manufacturer, and General Motors have partnered up. Josh is saying there's some hanky-panky that might have gone on. We'll keep you posted on that. We'll be right back with more of our Hollywood car consultant, Josh Hancock. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
I knew that I would too, because I always enjoy talking to my buddy, the Hollywood car consultant, Josh Hancock from Hollywood. And he's given us a little bit of the scuttlebutt. That's what I call my dog when it rubs its butt on the carpet. Scuttlebutt on the automotive news. Sorry. That's what I picture.
I feel for the audience. I really do.
Scuttlebutt. That's what it is. It's when you drag yourself along the carpet like that.
Very sophisticated.
Thank you.
Well, let's close the thought by saying that, you know, look, Ford has announced their F-150 pure electric end of 2022. Smaller manufacturers like Rivian and Bollinger, they're all due to come out at the end of 2021 or the beginning of 2022. Now, we're talking about a year and a half away of having all these electric trucks on the market. Are we going to make this big shift? We've been talking about this shift for years. Is it going to happen because all those manufacturers are on the market? Because
you know,
we can buy them?
I honestly, now this is going to sound weird because you know I kind of hate the electric car world, mostly because they were trying to shove too much of it down my throat.
That's a big word, hate.
Yes, I know. I resent. I have PTSD over the electric car market because it's like, what are you guys doing? Come on, we like internal combustion, and then they come at you. And I know Josh is going to take offense to this, but they come at you with the whole, you know, climate change and all that. Okay, the world has got this cyclical thing going on. There's already been a couple of ice ages, a couple of small ones along the way. But listen, it ebbs and flows, and they call it, you know, the Green New Deal. I don't want the Green New Deal. I like internal combustion. But, and I say all that, I believe that an electric truck is kind of smart, especially for the fact that you have all this building going on and you have all these contractors that they basically, you know, they need a generator on site. That truck can become a bit of a generator too, can't it? I mean, it seems like with the hybrid ones, you can do that. So you have
Ford is doing that already,
right,
with its new hybrid truck.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant, personally.
Which I think is very smart. And without getting into politics like you did, I do take your point very well. And this is why, and I hate to agree with you, but
hate's a big word.
The fact is that the truck owners that are in business kind of know what their daily route is.
Right.
This is why it makes so much sense for fleet trucks, the gas company, the phone company. They know those trucks do less than 60 miles a day, for example.
Right. Well, right? Because the municipalities.
The passenger car that you're going to buy, if you decide to drive to Los Angeles, you've got to think ahead.
Right.
But on a fleet truck, you know.
Yep. I agree. The municipalities can tell you where those trucks go. They're tracking them. They know exactly where they're going to go. And if you have a 200 mile range, even 200 is not that much, but you have a range where the thing's sitting there most of the time anyway, it only goes, 16 miles or 12 miles or 25 miles. And then it sits there while the guy's working on the phone lines or whatever. I mean, this is where I think they're going to really do well. Now, this company, Ballinger, is it Ballinger or Ballinger? I want to get it right because it's Robert.
Ballinger Motor Company.
B-O-L-I-N-G-E-R. Ballinger. Bollinger.
Just like the champagne.
Okay, I don't drink champagne. I don't drink at all. I mean, I drink water, I guess you could say. But
the
point is,
go ahead.
Yeah, maybe working with you, I probably should drink. But the thing is that I've seen what he's building. It kind of looks like a G-Wagon, but more industrial looking. That's going to be an interesting one. I've been watching that for a few years now as we saw it at the, I think we saw it at the LA Auto Show, maybe in Detroit.
Was that the LA Auto Show? Yeah. Actually, at a place where you had your radio.
Exactly right. It's where I was sitting.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. When you walked by and gave me that smile and I go, hey, you come over here. Come over here. Sit. I need somebody to take a photo like I'm doing an interview.
Let's not talk about the pedophilia going on.
It's the same thing. So, you're older than me. That can't be. You're the pedophile. Oh, jeez. Oh, take a break, he says. They said take a break. It's a good time to take a break. Oh, my gosh. Tried to give the guy a compliment. It's a good thing I have a mute button for him. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more Josh Hancock. Stay with us.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. And, boy, last night I was looking on social media. Somebody was selling a Dodge Red Eye wide body, which is, 797 horsepower. All I can tell you is that is just scrumptious to me. And we're talking about these electric cars. I get it, Josh. Josh Hancock joining us. I get it that you can have instant gigantic horsepower from an electric car. But you can't. Well, I guess they could pipe fake exhaust sound in there. But I think what they should do is just pipe exhaust into the car to asphyxiate the person that bought it.
Now, I will tell you that the BMW i8, which is a hybrid.
Right.
It's a hybrid electric. They do pump a manufactured noise inside and outside that car.
Yeah, and I don't think those vehicles haven't sold too well.
They haven't sold very well. I have to say, I drove it. My friend bought one. I've had a lot of time in it. It's a wonderful automobile.
Wait a minute. So you drove one?
Oh, I have driven one a lot. A friend of mine leased one, and he didn't like it. And he bought a Ferrari.
Now you're talking, right?
There was still some lease left on the i8, so I would use it. And so I've spent time in it. What I like about it is you live in Los Angeles and you're sitting in traffic a lot, and that, hybrid just shuts down. But my point was going to be that the manufactured noise, which I was so against in the beginning until I drove it, and then what it did for me is it gave me that familiarity that we crave of shifting through the gears, etc.
Right. Well, the sound of it anyway, right?
You've got your power. You know, you've got the power that you crave. You just don't have the noise and the smell.
Well, you know, it's funny because right now I'm driving a 2020 Mercedes-Benz AMG C63S Coupe. And it's a 105,600. Finally found the button to push. It had two little exhaust tips on it. And I went, oh, look at that. You push that button and the sound that comes out is, I don't even know how to describe it. It makes that engine, which is a, by the way, bi-turbo 516 horsepower V8 AMG. Yeah. It not only, because you have a lot of power, but now you can hear the power. And before that, it was just like, okay, I got a lot of power. And I could hear just kind of quiet, you know, exhaust. And it just kind of was like, eh, not doing it for me. I pushed that button, and now it's, and I'm like, yeah, baby. And this is a Mercedes-Benz. So I got to tell you, the music that comes out of the exhaust, that is hugely important for me. I'm that weirdo.
All right, well, let's talk about a car that's, I just want to say, because Nissan released photos, they had a little thing last week of the,
The
new Z car. The new Z car.
Did you see it?
I did not.
I
got to
see it. I haven't seen it either.
They're saying they're going to do a manual transmission as well.
Yeah. So Nissan revealed the new Z car, by the way, what he's talking about, to the journalist on a virtual.
They did it to the whole public.
Oh, did they? Is that what it was? Okay. Well, it's out there then. I haven't seen it yet.
I have seen it, but I didn't watch the actual reveal.
Oh, gotcha.
But they opened it up, which they're doing more and more to everybody at the same time, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of, it's frustrating.
Speaking of that, there was the Maserati MC20 mid-engine supercar. Did you see that one?
I have not seen it yet, but I did see the notification that they were releasing that vehicle. I talked to somebody about it last week or so.
You haven't seen the photo of the car?
I haven't. Our state is on fire. The whole state, okay? Leave me alone.
Oh, well, let's use that as an excuse.
No big deal.
I got to say, it's a beautiful, beautiful car.
Oh, well, that's good.
Now, and in what we're talking about, they know that they're going to have a pure electric version in 3 years.
Well, that means nothing to me because I hate electric cars. Okay, I said it out loud.
Okay.
That's it.
You don't hate them.
Yes, I do.
There's going to be some point where you get something and you go, oh, I didn't mind this. You know, I'm going to try the Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah, not me. I got a new GT500 Shelby sitting over at Shelby right now waiting for parts to do something special to it. I'll talk about it when it happens, but I don't want electric nothing except my golf cart. I lied. I do like my golf cart. I do.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
What about
that take you from the kitchen to the bedroom or
in the mansion? It's an indoor golf cart. Mine, and I want you to know that, see, I have kids and I have three boys and those three boys have, you know, it's 12 friends. And I found out that they had been jumping the golf cart, just so you know.
Of course they had.
Jumping the golf cart. That's what happened. All right, Josh, listen, thank you. I know we were going to talk a little bit about something with Carlos going, too. You got 30 seconds if you want to try.
You know, there started a trial against him in Japan. As we know, he escaped to Lebanon, so he's not there.
Right.
It's created a lot of articles, and I highly suggest to read some because you really don't know, honestly, what to believe.
I know.
And there's some new revelations that make you realize that they really went after him, and I don't think he's really guilty of what they say he did.
Well, time will tell. JoshCard.com is where you can find him. His name is Josh Hancock. If you haven't heard of him before, he's a very funny man. Very funny man. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, for me, I get to tape interviews throughout the week every now and then with guys like George Kennedy III, and it happens to be lunchtime.
That's delicious.
I'm having some sun chips, 100% whole grain, garden salsa, delicious. George, during my lunch break, do me a favor. Can you talk about the 24 Hours of Le Mans? Because I know it's your favorite racing thing.
It is. Yeah, I mean, you know, you had Ford versus Ferrari come out in the last year. And
right?
That hopefully turned some people onto the race. And, you know, that race has been going on since, I believe, like the 1920s. You know, it only stopped for World War II, I believe. Yeah. And really, it's an incredible race. I've never been, but every weekend that it's on, I sit down and I basically block out the entire weekend and watch the thing, you know, start to finish with a nap in the middle.
So hold on. Do you do this out of an act of love? Are you going to report on it for one of your cartender, car gurus, Boston Globe?
Passion thing.
Really?
There's no reporting involved. This is just for me. And what's cool is that it's got, the networks have gotten better about coverage of it. You know, I don't work for Motor Trend, but the Motor Trend network is covering the thing front to back.
Wow.
In past years, we used to have to watch it, like, find a web stream for part of it. You know, one network would have a couple hours on, another network would have another couple hours on. And to get the whole thing, not just the whole thing front to back, but each team now has their own, you know, web stream of the pits and onboard with the car. And you can listen to the radio. So it's one of these things where you don't have to be there, but it's this totally immersive experience where you're just hours into it. You know, you're watching these cars go around, and it's my favorite form of racing. You know, there's NASCAR out there. That's great. There's Formula One, which is like the pinnacle of motorsport. Rally racing is pretty wild stuff. MotoGP, really exciting. But for my money, sports car racing is where it's at, because more innovations that come out of this series through the years have gone into cars, you know, ABS, aerodynamics, safety advances, stuff like that. You know, there's that old adage, racing improves the breed. This is the race that it does it at, because if you can build a component to endure 24 hours, and it's called endurance racing, you know, you want to prove a shock absorber works, you want to prove a brake component works, you want to prove your powertrain can hold up, you put it through the rigors of a 24-hour race, and if, you know, the best line I ever heard about this race is that, you know, it chooses the winner. You can try as you might have the best car, but you might have a blowout with five laps left. A few years ago, Toyota, their hybrid system just shorted out, you know, right near the finish line. I mean, it is an incredibly, you know, grueling and dirty experience, and it's just a fascinating event to watch.
Well, it's very similar to the Baja 500 or the Baja 1000. It's an endurance. It's
absolutely,
you know, man versus machine, kind of, because if you don't have the discipline to realize it, you know, especially in desert racing, my God, you're out in the middle of, you know, God's country, and you know, it's like you can just pull into a pit. You know what I mean? You're in the desert, so you in order to win the race, you must first finish the race, right? And same goes with the 24 Hours Le Mans.
And not only that, but you know, the car, if something goes wrong, it has to be able to get back to the pit under its own power. A few years ago, there was that Nissan Delta Wing, that funky, kind of pointy nose looking car.
Yeah.
And that, it had a crash, and then the driver was trying to get it working. He was close to the pits. The team was on the other side of the fence trying to talk him through it. And after several hours, you know, he just couldn't get it. And, you know, he got a standing ovation from all the fans watching. and that really speaks to it. There's far more to it than the checkered flag.
Right.
What's neat, too, about the experience is that there are four classes. Really, when you think about it, there's the prototype racing, which are these, you know, wild spaceship-looking vehicles. They're almost like fully enclosed Formula One cars. And then you've got the GT racing, which is, you know, Ferraris, Porsche 911s, Aston Martin. And even within each of those classes there's Prototype 1, Prototype 2, there's GT Pro, and then GT Amateur. And the GT Amateur, you know, one or more of your drivers might be, you know, some gentleman, rich gentleman driver. And, you know, what that does is, you know, say one of the races is in hand, say the overall win is in hand by several laps. Well, you can tune in and watch the LMP2 race or the GT Pro race. And, you know, there are basically four races going on. And that's what makes it so cool is it's not just setting the best lap. It's negotiating traffic. It's doing that in the middle of the night, you know, after you're, you know, several
maybe
hours
in the rain
and you're tired.
Right?
Oh, the track is so big that it can be raining on one side of the track and, you know, dry on the other. So that sort of strategy comes into it and, you know, following the strategy and seeing where the driver stints and the fuel stints and the tire stints are at all plays into this incredible strategy. Even within that strategy, there is, you know, say you have a team of two to three cars, the lead car might go set blistering laps to try and goat the other teams into going faster, hoping that they have a mistake or a blowout, giving the other cars in your team a chance to take over from there.
You know,
it's an incredible set of strategies.
I have to tell you that after I've eaten my Sun Chips, 100% whole grain garden salsa, I have that dust on my microphone and it smells so good. It normally smells like really bad breath since it's my microphone, but right now it just smells delicious. I have to tell you. Can I ask you a serious question though?
What's up?
COVID thing, what are they doing different this year for the 24 hours of Le Mans, you know, with the social distancing and masks?
Sure.
And I mean, any of that, what's going on?
So for starters, we would typically be having this conversation in the first week of June. The race is usually held mid-June. It's going to be held. They moved it to this weekend, which
right.
coincides with my birthday weekend, which is a nice little happy birthday. Sit and watch racing for 24 hours.
Right.
That's a little present to myself. But what they did originally was during the weekend that the race was supposed to be held, they had a virtual version of the race where a bunch of professional drivers and even some guys who are famous, like well-known racing sim YouTubers, had a large virtual event for it. So totally video game version. And that was just sort of to hold us over until we actually had the race, you know, this weekend. What they're doing is, you know, in the past, if, you know, my goal, one of my bucket list things is to get to the 24 Hours Le Mans and watch it live. And the whole thing is, you know, you camp, you go to different sections, watch from different turns. The way they're doing it now is sort of your area where you're parked or seated or camping or whatever, you're cordoned off to that zone. And there's a handful of zones. I think it's like 8 or 10 zones. And you have to be in that zone for the duration of the race. So that's one way they're doing it. Anyone that's been watching F1 so far this year has known, you know, everyone's been wearing masks in the pits. There's been nobody in the stands. So I think the way they're doing it is, you know, they're spreading people out. I don't even know if there's going to be people in the stands, but, you know, a lot of the race can be watched from wooded areas, vantage points.
But you know what?
So I think they're having.
Here's what, when you do that, you hear, row.
It's like you
get the sounds of it and the smell of the, you know, the car going by, a little exhaust, but you got a better seat
in your
couch at your house, by the way. Happy birthday.
That's a
great way to tell the world it's your birthday. Don't go anywhere, George. Talking to George Kennedy III, car tender, car gurus, Boston Globe and U.S. News and World Report. He is a car guy and he's geeking out on, what is it, 24 Hours of Le Mans. Jeez. I'll be right back.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, Well, thanks to our friends at Subaru. Go Where Love Takes You. Our show is brought to you by Subaru. You know, George, happy birthday, brother. 36 years old, he told me during the break.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
That's great. Okay, so we're talking about the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and you were geeking out. I don't know where all that information came from. It was like you were holding a piece of paper in front of you reading or something. But no, I get it. I mean, you love that. And you know what's funny? I never really – I went to the Sebring 12-hour race, and that's a long time to be watching a race. I took a nap,
yeah,
you know, in the media center, and I went back, and there was guys sleeping on, you know, stacks of tires, and it gets really, you know, it's just a lot. No, you know what? Isn't there a 24-hour in Florida also? What's the 24-hour?
Yeah, there is. There's the 24 hours of Daytona.
Daytona.
Sebring.
That's right. I did Sebring,
I did the
Daytona 24-hour also one time. And that was the time I went and took a nap and got up like 4 o'clock in the morning. And the team members are just like falling apart. They're sleeping on the ground and they're, I was like, oh my God, this is brutal, man.
If anyone wants to know what it's all about, you know, there's obviously Ford versus Ferrari. And then there's the Steve McQueen movie, Le Mans, which sort of takes place during the 1971 24 hours. It was actually filmed scenes at Daytona. And I think they used a couple other places. And, you know, Steve McQueen, he raced in a Porsche 908 States, and he placed, I think, in one of the big endurance races. He wanted to race in the 24 Hours of Le Mans, actually, in it, and the company would not insure him.
Wow.
But that movie is, it's like an avant-garde film. It's a 2.5-hour movie with maybe 20 minutes of dialogue. And the rest kind of takes you into these vignettes of like people sleeping, like you said, like sleeping in the back of cars in the woods as the cars are going by. Like, really takes it's an immersive thing. And if you've ever watched or been part of an endurance race, it's not like a sprint race. It's this immersive thing where you just like the sound of the cars buzzing by just becomes second nature.
Yeah.
It's a really cool experience.
You're geeking out again. By the way, you're talking about Steve McQueen. His son, Chad McQueen, who's a few years younger than me, quite a bit older than you, was racing for Porsche, got into a horrible, horrible car crash, almost killed him. He was desert racing on motorcycles. I mean, he was trying to kind of, you know, live up to what his dad had done in the world. And it's hard. Listen, he did the best he could.
It captures the attention of celebrities and stuff. I mean, Patrick Dempsey has been part of the Le Mans for a couple of years, more than a couple of years, and now he has a team with several cars.
Really?
One of the Porsche teams. Michael Fassbender is just getting involved racing Porsches. I don't think he's up to the level yet for the 24, but it's really cool to see. You know, different celebrities getting involved brings more attention to this form of racing, which I don't think gets as much attention, namely because the biggest race is only once a year versus NASCAR is always in everyone's face.
Right.
F1 is always
The 24 hours
form of racing. I like to see attention brought to it.
It's like the Super Bowl of sports car racing. No question about it. It really is the 24 hours.
I think it's the most important motorsport event of the year, given the history that has gone into it.
Sure. Like the Indy 500, kind of a same kind of a cachet. All right, so I was going to tell you a story real quick about Chad McQueen. In that crash, he had been in a motorcycle crash, desert racing in motorcycles, and his leg was so mangled that they were going to cut it off, and they said, no, just put me back together. So they did. So he walked with a limp, and his leg was pretty messed up. Same thing happened again. And they're like, this leg has got to come off. And his wife said no, because he was in a coma. He was in a coma for 54 days, Chad McQueen, Steve McQueen's son. And anyway, they did not amputate his leg. And the guy lives in Palm Springs, nice guy. I see him at the LA Auto Show. He's wearing shorts. I swear to you, his leg looked like it looked like a sack of potatoes. It had so many, you know, you could see the screws and bolts. It looked like, you know, it had been just bolted back together. And I go, dude. And he's like, hey, what's going on, man? And I go, what's wrong with your voice? He goes, they had a thing down my throat so long it wrecked my vocal cords. You know, it's like, this guy did his best to live up to what his dad had done. And man, oh, man. Dude,
once you got that bug, once you have that bug for racing, you can get out there. Do it. I'm reading the the book that was the basis for Ford versus Ferrari. It's called Go Like Hell. And in it, they talk about John Surtees, famous race car driver, got in a horrific crash, Can-Am racing. And he was in a coma. His leg was mangled. And it was like, I think he broke his hip so bad that his leg was up like, you know, a bunch of inches. And they had to lower it. In the rest of his days of racing, he raced with one leg a little bit shorter than the other.
Wow. I know how that feels. I won't go into it here. We'll take a little break. Oh, geez. Well, we'll come back, and George wants to talk about a Mazda 3 if you're looking to buy a new car. We'll come back with a test drive. Be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, we were talking all about racing and the 24 Hours of Le Mans or Le Mans. And our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo Brakes. Very proud of that sponsorship and the friends of mine at Brembo, from the CEO, Dan Sandberg, right on down. Hear him on the show every now and then. Talking to George Kennedy III, car gurus, car tender, Boston Globe and U.S. News and World Report, and he's reporting today on a Mazda 3. So it's a very popular car with a large group of people. The interesting thing is it's young and old alike, which is a rare thing. They've got something going on. There's zoom, zoom, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a mini representative one time, and I asked them about, you know, young versus old, and they said, you know, you want to get old people, also market to the younger crowd, because there's a lot of folks that want to feel young at heart when they get behind the wheel. And I thought that was pretty good, and it might apply here as well.
Well, I think, but also, it's just a good car, right?
It is. It is. Absolutely. I mean, look, the car I learned on was a Mazda Protege with the manual transmission. That was like a 95. And this is the spiritual successor. I mean, the Protege became the 3. And the brand, kind of the Zoom Zoom brand, has pivoted over the last two decades to be more of a luxury brand. I mean, when you look at Mazda cars right now, they are near luxury. And they're doing a lot of things to emulate the luxury look. I mean, getting behind the wheel of this car, it feels like a Lexus, from the look of the dash, all the soft touch materials. It even has, you know, rather than a conventional touchscreen that you'll see in many new cars, it has the remote system. So it's not a touchscreen. It's a big digital display, and it's a remote in the center console, sort of like BMW iDrive.
Right.
I prefer a touchscreen, but it's neat to see them being so aspirational with their design choices.
Well, you know, it's funny because I find that there is a group of people at about 28 or 9 years old that froth at the mouth over these vehicles. And I'm not sure what that is. And with what you just said, it seems that are they accidentally moving away from that younger crowd with this more premium look, feel, and taste? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you got to remember, too, like, you know, they offer the CX-3 and the CX-30, so they have some entry-level cars. But I think the thinking is they want to sort of hold their hand with some of these buyers as they kind of grow and build up a bit more coin and want to get a car that, you know, that's kind of a bit nicer. The other thing, too, is, you know, yes, SUVs are the absolute craze right now, but there's still a group of people, and this might be an overlap, that care about the driving experience. And that's where the Mazda 3 really delivers. It is, you know, once again, speaking to that near luxury feel, it's refined, but it's not soft. It's, you know, getting behind the wheel, it is responsive. The driving experience is fantastic. You know, it's got a 6-speed automatic with paddle shifters. This one's actually all-wheel drive, so that may have contributed to this cornering ability.
Wait a minute. It's a Mazda 3 sedan. It's a hatchback.
Yeah.
All-wheel drive.
Sedan. Yeah, all-wheel drive, which, I mean, I'm up in New England. You know,
you know, that's a big selling group here.
Boy, that's kind of a Subaru kind of a thing. In other words, all Subarus are all-wheel drive, symmetrical four-wheel drive, right? So
that's right. And
all of a sudden, and I did not know this was offered with all-wheel drive. That's interesting. And I don't know if it's even that new, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it covers a big area where, you know, part of the reason I think why crossovers have been as popular as they are is because that either perceived or reality of better capability and worse weather. With the all-wheel drive, you know, you're able to offer that in a car that has the driving dynamics of a car like this, which I think is a great, I wouldn't call it a compromise, but you're accomplishing more things with one car.
Right. How much money for this car?
So starting price, $21,500. We had one of the more fully loaded ones. So you're looking closer to $30,000, which at first sounds like a lot for a compact car. But I mean, start adding features to the Honda Civic. And this is right in step with the Honda Civic in terms of quality, driving dynamics, all that stuff. But I think in a lot of ways, this thing raises the bar from a styling standpoint.
All right, so you're a big guy. You're 6'3" and how many pounds? I don't know, but these are smaller cars. You fit into it okay.
I do, yeah. I mean, the back seat is a little cramped for somebody my size, but I was perfectly comfortable in the driver's seat.
Right on. All right, well, thank you, George. Mazda 3 all-wheel drive. I got to get behind the wheel of one of those. Hey, last thing, real quick. Have you seen the new Z car, huh?
I did, yeah. That looks sharp. It's definitely conjuring up the original Datsun and the Z280Z in a really good way.
Yeah, I can't wait. They just showed it out this week, and I Googled it. There's a picture of it. All right, George, we'll have to get behind the wheel of that one, too. George Kennedy III, Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. He's out there. Look for him and you'll find him. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. There's another hour to go. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I used to be a television host. I'm still a radio host. Expert? I don't know. The world is changing so fast anymore. Can you really be an expert at anything in the automotive world when you're not able to really even go and test drive some of these cars because you can't get them because of the COVID thing? Ed Justice's phone has got COVID. I can hear it crackling. Ed Justice Jr., how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it might be related to the fires here in Southern California, but and of course you got fires all around the country.
Yep.
So who
it's
knows?
All right. It's, you know what it is? It's phone wire fog. We'll just call it that.
Yeah.
So Ed was talking to me, you guys, during the break there about a car. I thought he was joking, but he was serious. It's actually a car called the Dale. And Ed, I'm dying to know what you got here.
Well, this was back in the 70s. This was during the Arab oil embargo and the energy crisis. And this fellow by the name of Dale Clift, which with two Fs, you know, it's interesting. You know, it's
so
like
C-L-I-F-F-T, right?
F-F-T. Oh, C-L-I-F-F-T. Oh, anyway, this designer, he thought he'd come up with the ultimate car and for fuel economy, et cetera, et cetera. And so he designed up a three-wheel car with the single wheel in the back using a motorcycle engine that he claimed would get 70 miles per gallon. And somehow another fellow found out about it who was known by Liz Carmichael, was a transgender fellow who had become a female. And the reason why a lot of people think that Liz Carmichael became female was because the original male was wanted for a counterfeiting claim back in 1961.
Wow.
So I guess that might help throw the FBI off.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I could see that. But was he a cross-dresser? Because in the 70s, they didn't have all the operations perfected yet. So, I mean...
I don't know that anybody knows the answer to that question.
His girlfriend or his boyfriend does.
Yeah,
but
clearly was a cross-dresser. But anyway, so she got connected with Dale Clift. And being as Liz was involved in counterfeiting... It's very clear now after the fact, after everything came out, that she was a world-class con artist.
Oh, boy.
Or at least had the basic makings of one, or the heart of a con artist. So she consequently, they had one car built that they debuted at the 75 Los Angeles Auto Show, had it displayed there, and they gave away brochures, one of which I have, and... then she went and started selling stock.
Oh, boy.
Without a license or filing or whatever. And if there's one thing that'll get you in deep trouble in America, in most states, in fact, every state and federally, is selling stock for what would appear to be bogus investment.
Right.
And so they had an office out on Ventura Boulevard, and the car sat there, and there was a desk, and they had some sort of video and all that. The Peterson has a Dale in the basement, but from what I've been told, it's not a running version. This sounds like maybe the car that they had at the L.A. Auto Show.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, long story short, well, first I got to tell you about the brochure. So they used one line they used on the brochure was dollar for dollar, the best car ever built.
Oh!
I mean, this was one of the all-time great brochures.
Right.
And according to what a fellow told me, that dollar for dollar, and this sounded familiar once they said it, that dollar for dollar, the best car ever built, I think it was a Pontiac ad or one of those from way back when,
right,
that used that same tagline. So I think what Liz Carmichael did was got a whole bunch of old car brochures, and when she, I think, probably sat down to write this brochure, just sort of, you know, as they say, if you copy from one, it's called plagiarism, but if you copy from many, it's called research. So apparently she did her research and copied from everybody, except for some of the other lines were the first space-age automobile.
Oh, boy. Hold on
Here's
a second.
Here's another one.
Hold on. We'll take a break. We're talking about a car called the Dale. How do you say that name again?
D-A-L-E. Oh, Dale Clift is the designer.
Yeah, I know how to say Dale. Oh, jeez. But I can't remember if he was a woman or a man. We're talking transgender. I'm confused. This is The Drive. I know there's a car story in here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're complimenting me, Paul. Black
bandana, sweet Louisiana. Robbing on a bank in the state. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead. Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, this is a dirty little secret, perfect song for what we're talking about, the All-American Rejects. I think Ed's talking about one of the All-American Rejects. The car is called the Dale. Around 1975, they showed it at the L.A. Auto Show. Dale Clift, C-L-I-F-F-T, brought this car to the world, and his transgender partner, friend, person was kind of... what's the word you want to call it? Stealing other car makers' stuff.
Front, you'd say front man.
Front
but
person.
It would be front woman.
You're right. Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, you know, Carmichael, at the time that this was happening, she was 37, and she would tell people that she
wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. 37, 26, 37, is that where you were going with that?
No.
Okay.
She claimed to be the widow of a NASA structural engineer. She also claimed to be a mother of five.
Oh, boy.
She claimed to be a farm girl from Indiana. Some say that she went to Dale Clift to have this car designed. I don't know that anybody knows for sure. But anyway, so here's some of the other things that were said in the brochure. Unmistakably, the car of the future built for today. They were supposed to sell for $2,000 in the 70s, which would have been cheap back then. But for me, the all-time best line in the brochure is, designed and built like it's ready to be driven on the moon.
Oh, man. Think now, about
that's,
this.
That's got to be one of the all-time great. You know, there's a lot of garbage in the orbit above the Earth.
Right.
And this would be just another one of those pieces.
So do you have one of these cars, or do you just have the brochure?
There's that one that doesn't run in the basement of the Peterson. The Speedway Motors Museum of American Speed, I know, has, I think, another prototype or whatever.
Gotcha. So they never built anything, basically, other than a couple of prototypes.
I don't know that they did.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. You know, she told people that she had backing from private parties.
Oh, yeah.
And she also talked about 150,000 square foot assembly plant in Burbank and over 100 employees on the rolls. And, you know, I mean, talk is cheap.
You know what?
Talk is really cheap.
She had 150 square foot plant in Burbank. 150, not 150,000. She had a broom closet. Oh, my
gosh.
Well,
I think the only plant she had was sitting in the office next to the desk.
There you go.
I think that was really the only plant. Anyway, she ended up getting convicted and spent 10 years, was sentenced to 10 years in the big house, as they say.
Well, today they just let her out because, you know, they're letting everybody out.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is when she went and disappeared, she was gone. They couldn't find her. They caught up with her, and of all places they arrested her was in Dale, Texas, working in a flower shop.
How bizarre. Had a fixation on the name Dale.
I know the story. It just, when you think, okay, I've just about heard it all.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
You know what? That would have been a really good trivia question, by the way. Who was the, I don't know, you could figure out some way of asking a question about the Dale from 1975, right? Bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre trivia from the automotive world, and only getting weirder because now you've got the original Nikola Tesla. You have a car company called a Nikola and another one called a Tesla, and they're both electric car companies. And it almost it's kind of like I think Nikola probably should have picked a different name. I don't know, but it's confusing and it's weird. What do you think?
Well, or Tesla should have come out with a model called the Nikola.
Yeah, that would have been smarter.
And prevented that.
That's right. Well, it'd be like, you know, with Carroll Shelby, you know, someday Shelby starts making cars like he was going to do anyway. And all of a sudden there's another company that calls their car the Carroll Shelby.
Yeah, with two R's and two L's.
Right, right. It's a little too strange. But anyway, that was the 70s, boy, and I don't think any of us missed the 70s. Hang on, I know you want to talk about motorsports a little bit, and we were talking about the 24 hours of Le Mans in the first hour. Are you a big 24-hour Le Mans guy?
Oh, yeah, I went there a couple years ago. It's fantastic. To me, Indianapolis 500 and Le Mans are the two
biggies.
And I can compare those two if you want. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, we'll talk on the other side and a little F1, the politics and the economics of it. I don't know how they do that. But you're listening to The Drive, my buddy Ed Justice Jr., President, CEO of Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. JusticeBrothers.com on the web. Your service department where you have your car serviced probably uses their products for the last, 75 or 80 years. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon.
It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance, plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, my buddy Ed Justice Jr. is on the phone right now, president and CEO of Justice Brothers. They're 85 years old now, and they've been in the motorsports world since the very beginning. Ed, your dad and his brothers were very instrumental in the motorsporting world we know today. And if it wasn't for guys like you and your family, a lot of these racers really would have never had the careers they do, because I know that you've worked with people even like Jimmy Johnson, who's still racing today in a very big way. Although he's coming close to the end, isn't he? Don't you think? Retirement, maybe?
Yeah. Well, he's going to do IndyCar. He signed a 2-year IndyCar contract for next year.
Get out of here.
This was his last year in NASCAR.
Oh, my gosh.
He's going to Chip Ganassi's team.
Oh.
And he signed a 2-year deal to drive an IndyCar, but not Indianapolis. Not Indianapolis.
Really?
Only the street and road courses.
Okay. Gotcha.
So for everybody that says, Indy, you know, anybody can go there, and it's not that big of a race, and it's, you know, it's not that hard to win, and because you hear this from people, then why does a guy like Jimmy Johnson say, I'll run road courses and I'll run street courses, but I'm not going to run Indy?
Yeah, that's
because
dangerous.
It's really dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. I interviewed Bobby Rahal on Tuesday for a video podcast, and we talked about that. And he said today, he goes, look, at different than when I ran back in the 80s and 90s. Today, they run in a tight pack going into turn one at over 240 miles an hour.
Forget it. You know, it shows, though, that Jimmy Johnson has a love of what he does. And because, obviously, I kind of feel the same way. I think that going around in circles is one thing, but the road course is truly fun. I would rather be a sports car race driver than any other form of circle track type driving, just because I want to turn the wheel more than just left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know it, but I will tell you this, having done a little of both, not in heated, full-blown pro level, just to make sure that that's clear, but the one thing about a road course, it's not as grinding on a driver when you're behind, because you can only see so far ahead. On an oval, when you're out there and a guy goes off the corner and they pull away from you, man, from my standpoint, the frustration is just, you've got to really be patient. And
mentally,
that's where Jimmy Johnson, if he's anything among other talents, he's very patient, and you've got to be able to let the race come to you and just stay there. You can't be worried about being that alpha dog being out in the front all the time.
Those kind of guys do a lot of crashing, which is upping the percentage of chances of getting killed. Speaking of Jimmy Johnson, didn't he get COVID?
Well, he tested positive, but, you know, they're not quite sure. I think now I'm not saying this is 100%, you know, cast and sewn. I think he might have said that it might have been a false positive because he tested negative like so quickly after. So
interesting.
That actually broke his string of races that he had been in, and it really hurt his chances to get into the chase for the championship.
Right.
And so it's a bit of a controversy, that whole thing. But he did test positive, but I think there was a question, or still is a question, or some doubt as whether it was a false positive.
Yeah, and while we're on this subject, what do you make of Bubba Watson going over to, who's he going? He's leaving Petty's team, and he's going over to the guy's team that he got in trouble for talking out of school a little bit or something, right?
Yeah, Bubba Wallace.
Did I say Watson again? Wallace.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, You know, I don't know. I'm not that close to that situation. Look at teams that have bad performance change drivers to try and hide their performance. They blame it on the driver. Drivers who don't perform change teams to blame it on the teams for their performance.
Yeah, but, you know, the king, and Bubba, what's his name, Wallace or Watson? I can't remember. Bubba.
Wallace.
Okay. Bubba, that was a lot of controversy, and it was controversy that I don't think set well very well. Personally, I don't know, but I just can't imagine it set well with the king, with Richard Petty.
Oh, no, Richard. Well, first of all, Richard has no issue with him staying. I mean, this decision was made totally by Bubba Wallace.
Really?
And absolutely. He would still have a home at Petty Racing or whatever they call it now.
Richard Petty
know,
Racing,
you know what
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny?
He would still have a home there.
You remember, because I'm pretty sure you were on the show about 10 years ago when I had Richard Petty on the show. I think he was on your show, too, when you were doing Road and Tracks radio show. But I was at SEMA, and I said, what's it like today? What's the biggest difference today? This was about 10 years ago, from when you were racing, you know, 25 or 30 years ago. He says, you know what the biggest difference was? He says, when somebody, you know, cut you off or do something wrong, he says, you just meet them out back behind the truck and you guys would duke it out. He goes, today, there's cameras everywhere. You can't do it. Don't go anywhere. Yeah. I'm going to have you on one more segment here.
The other thing he said was that they don't have fun anymore.
That's big point right there. One more segment with Ed Justice because we want to talk about the economics of racing. What's going on there? This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Go where love takes you. And love is what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I'm Alan Taylor. Ed Justice Jr. joining us. JusticeBrothers.com. JusticeBrothers.com. Ed, let's talk a little bit about the economics of racing. And if anybody knows about that, it's you because you've had your nose in it for, guess what, your whole life. Because I know that's where you came from. You and your family, you know, I mean, well, the same kind of question I asked Richard Petty way back in the day is what I'm going to ask you right now. The economics of racing, what's the difference today in today's COVID world in comparison to what it was a couple years ago?
Well, here's some basic things. And also, we sponsored Richard at early part of his career, and we also sponsored his dad, Lee Petty, the winner of the first Daytona 500. But anyway, here's some basic things that have always been true about racing, and they're still true to this day, with the exception that the racing budgets now have gotten completely off the charts. Number one, how much money does it take to go racing? Well, back in the day, it took everything you had. And guess what? That's still the case. And when I talked with Bobby Rahal on this last Tuesday, we talked about budgets, and like he won the race. His son finished third at Indy this year. He won the Indy 500. His son finished third. And his third car basically got destroyed on that crash there at the end. And I said to Bobby, I said, you know, I asked Dan Gurney sometime, how do you budget for crash damage? And I said, Dan looked at me and he said, I didn't know a race team had a budget. And and Bobby said the famous other take on this, and that is a budget for a race team, that's a good starting point. And so, yeah, the problem is, though, like in Formula One, because you mentioned that, in Formula One, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars And again, to go back to Bobby Rahal, many years ago when I interviewed him, and Bobby ran the Jaguar F1 team at one time, and I asked him, what was your budget per year? And the Jaguar team at that time in F1 was one of the midfield to backfield teams. And he said, yeah, we were a low man on the totem pole on budgets and everything else, and our budget was $400 million. And so what they're spending now, Mercedes and all that, is it's crazy.
How do they justify it?
Well, here's the problem I have with it, okay? Whether they want to write the check or not, at the end of the day, is the racing compelling? Is it entertaining? Does it engage the viewer? Does it make people want to come back more? Do you hate to walk away from it?
Right.
All these things that really you need to have in a good race. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. And I can tell you it's not. And even the most ardent F1 fans will agree with that. And so if money equated to a better form of racing, better entertainment, F1 would be so entertaining and so exciting, you could hardly control yourself.
Right.
But it's not that.
I don't think any of them are.
It's very boring sometimes.
I don't think any of them are right now, truthfully. You
know? They had a couple. They had one at Monza because Hamilton got penalized and things happened. And so they had an upset winner. But that's an aberration. That's not the normal F1 race. And, so money is not the key to good racing. And if you put the genie a little bit back in the bottle and regulate everybody down, look at racers will figure a way to get around any rule and make the car go faster again. So it's a constant battle. You got to constantly keep reeling racers back in. And to make sure that you keep competition, but it can't be contrived. When they start penalizing individual cars and all that, there's no racer or fan that's really in favor of that.
Yeah.
You've got to make it a level playing field, but keep pulling them back in.
How do you do that with $400 million budget? It's insanity. How do they justify spending that kind of money? There cannot be a good justification in my mind to spend that much money in today's world. It's like, it makes no
sense. Consequently, that's why, we talked about Le Mans a minute ago. That's why most of the major factories have left Le Mans. They cannot justify it. And particularly, Porsche just pulled the plug on their factory team in IMSA, and it's all related to the economy, et cetera, et cetera, and Volkswagen sales being down and, which is the parent company, as we all know. And so, it's pretty hard to say, hey, we're spending, whatever this number is, but it's a substantial number when, we have to make cuts here, we can't sell enough cars. So that type of racing budget's the first thing to go, and for good reason, obviously. And again, you don't have to have that type of budget, all things being equal, to make for compelling racing.
Yeah. I don't get it personally. In the world today that we're in, with everything, you're down to the fraction of a percentage of profit is all you're able to make at the end of the day, even if you're really doing well. Because if you're flatlining and you're not making any additional profit year over year, you're killing it. If you're making enough to pay your bills, you're killing it. Because most of everybody's businesses these days are being killed by this economy, by this, this pandemic that I'm still not convinced. I'm 100% convinced it's man-made, but I'm still not convinced that we're really being told the truth about it. I don't trust Fauci. Yeah. Anyway, don't get me going, Ed. Don't get me going.
Boy, it sounds like we lit the fuse here.
You did. Because it's so hard to make it in the world today, Ed Justice.
So
thank
what
you.
Was it? Was it Le Mans or F1 that lit the fuse?
F1. $400 million budget. Thank you, Ed.
All right, Alan. Always great to be on you. And check out my Instagram account at EdJusticeJR.
All right. EdJusticeJR. JusticeBrothers.com on the web. We're going to come back with BJ Colleen. She's going to talk about Volkswagen. I'm going to ask her about that $400 million F1 budget. No, I promise I won't, because I'll get political. We'll be right back.
Got no time for spreading rumors.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Oh, good Lord, please bring some reason into my life. No more motorsports for me today. BJ Colleen, the voice of reason, automotive journalist. Please tell me you're not going to talk motorsports.
That's all I was
going to
talk about.
Oh, great. I guess because of this weekend, races and what have you, everybody's all excited. But Volkswagen Passat you're driving right now. How new is it? Is it a refresh? Is it an all-new vehicle? What do you got there?
This is a 2020 Passat, and everything is new except for the roof panel. Oh, so I guess they saved one piece and kept it going.
Right?
Which is good.
Yeah, right?
Like, change as much as you can. But they actually did a really nice job with it. The Passat looks really good. And it always was a nice-looking vehicle, but it just looks a little bit more streamlined. And I had the R-Line model, and the R-Line model is kind of their sportier version. It's got a unique front bumper. It's got different badging, a rear spoiler, and a rear diffuser. So, and it's got the R-Line in the inside. It's just kind of cool looking. But I've always liked the Passat. But I'll be honest, I always confuse the Passat and the Jetta. The Passat is the midsize, and I think the Jetta is the compact sedan.
Right.
But it's a nice vehicle overall. They have four different trim levels. It starts at the S model. That's about 23. And I have the R-Line. There's an SEL above this, but my vehicle started about 28. And really, it had the only package you paid extra for was the Aurora red metallic exterior, which was stunning. And that was another $400. So I got out for under $30,000, around $29,900.
Wow.
And that's not bad. It's got, what's nice is there's one engine across the lineup. It's a 2-liter TSI, so it's a turbo engine. It had a 4-cylinder. It makes decent power, about 174 horsepower, 206 pound-feet of torque. And the torque comes in really low. You're getting the torque of about 1,600 RPM. So you never feel like you're lacking for power. This is the ninth generation Passat, so it's been around a while. It's a popular vehicle. Although sales last year, I think they were down a little bit because everybody knew there was a new one coming out. And they only sold about 14,000 units last year, down from 41 in 2018. But when you put it in perspective, the Camry sells 330,000 units. So it's not high on everybody's radar, but it's a nice vehicle to have if you don't want to drive what everybody else is driving it. And a lot of people like that feature.
You know, it's funny. You're talking about this car. My son, Jason, you know Jason, he's 32 years old. He's got a 2014 Volkswagen Jetta. And it was like 23,000, automatic power steering, air conditioning, you know, cruise control, nice stereo and all that stuff. Just a really nice wagon, really nice vehicle. And he's got like 90,000 miles. And I said to him the other day, how many miles you got on the thing? He goes, we're pushing 90,000 miles. I go, 90,000? I go, have you ever had anything go wrong? He said, not a single thing. That is a testament right there. And he's in real estate. So in the last probably year and a half, he's probably put 40,000 miles on it. And then the other 5 years, 6 years, whatever it was, you know, maybe the last 5 years, he probably only put like 40,000 miles of the whole 5 years combined. But he never had a single problem. All he's ever done is change the oil and do the basic maintenance on it. But these vehicles today are so good. You see them now with 200,000, 250,000 miles. I used to think to myself, you know, you throw it in the junkyard. Not anymore. They just keep on going. It's crazy. And the body styles are nice. You know, his 2014 doesn't look too much different than the 2019. You know what I mean?
So, and they're really smart because you're right. They don't make drastic changes. They make gradual changes that look good.
Yep.
And I like that. And there's some features on VWs I've always loved. The flat bottom steering wheel is just great.
Yeah.
And Volkswagens, really, they understand how to create a vehicle that handles well. And their steering is probably one of the best in the system. It's really nicely weighted. It has good cargo room and a lot of great sitting room in the back. The second row's got a lot of room. What stunned me on this vehicle is that the fuel economy is 23 in the city, 34 on the highway. I got 37 miles per gallon on the highway. I exceeded their highway number. And after driving for 2 hours, I still had a range of 540 miles. I started for a second, and I'm like, is this a hybrid vehicle? And I kept checking. I'm like, it got the fuel economy of a hybrid, but it's not a hybrid vehicle. So I was really impressed with it. Now, there are some things missing. It doesn't have auto hold, which is a small feature that I like. When you pull up to the stoplight and you set the brake, you don't have to put your foot on the brake anymore. And the sunroof was one of the smaller ones. It's not your big, you know, Vista sunroof like a lot of them have. Right,
panoramic deal.
Yeah, not a pano, right? But it has, like I said, the cargo room is good, and it's a solid vehicle. You get in it, and the vehicle feels like it's really well-built. And I think that's important for a feeling of safety. And it's got a lot of technology features. It's got the lane keeping, adaptive cruise control. And everything worked really well. And I thought that they did a really good job. My only couple little nitpicks is it's quiet, but occasionally there was some weird, odd wind noise that I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And the seats are stiff. And I think that just comes with being a German product. They think that people like stiffer seats. And I have an old person's rear end, so I want something a little bit softer.
Thank you for describing it that way.
But it's a good, solid vehicle all the way around. And like you said, they've been building Volkswagens for so many years. This is the ninth generation for Passat. And, Volkswagen Beetles you could fix with a stick of chewing gum and a rubber band. So it's a good, dependable product that they've had many years of experience building. And you won't go wrong buying a Passat or a Jetta or pretty much the Arteon. And we know the Atlas is great. And their new vehicle coming out is the Taos, their new midsize CUV. So
yeah.
Volkswagen should have a lot more credit than they get. I think so.
Well,
so.
It's funny because I was looking in Auto Trader, I'm flipping through, and I saw an old Volkswagen Beetle. And it was like $9,500 for a convertible. And I literally, this thought went through my mind. Wow, look at that. That's not a bad deal, $9,500. And then I kept on flipping, and I saw like a 2006 Volkswagen Beetle for $2,900, convertible. And I thought, what is wrong with this picture here? Classic cars. People just love them. Can't get enough of them. Anyway, it's funny because what a piece of junk that original Volkswagen was in comparison to today's car, right? We'll take a little break. We'll come back. We'll talk about kind of the industry a little bit in our last segment today with BJ Colleen, the lady with an old person's butt. I don't know what she said it. Not me. She said it. I didn't say it.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, I used to call her the voice of reason in my world, but now I call her the voice of an old lady's butt. I mean, an old person's butt. Did I say that again? Oh, no! I'm going to get in trouble. My producer's going to kill me.
Well, because I don't care.
Because you said you have an old person's butt, and you don't like those hard leather seats they put in those German cars. That is too funny! You know what? It's true. Everybody that drives any of the German cars, BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen, those seats are just hard, man. Come on, Volkswagen. Come on, Mercedes, BMW. Anyway, maybe that's why
don't
I like
for the American butt.
I was going to say, I got an old man's butt. I like soft seats. Anyway, and that's why I like American cars. I think they know how to put a literally a lazy boy recliner in the front of some of these vehicles, you know.
I'm all for that.
Let me get off the old lady's butt for a minute here and talk about the new Nissan Z car that they've just shown the world earlier this week. I finally got online and looked at it. I got to tell you, I love it. What do you think?
Why
do you like it? Because I'm an old man and I love old Z cars, and they made it look like an old Z car.
What is wrong with that grill?
Well,
it's awful.
Listen, again, first of all, quit picking on the grill. It's like there's so much more than a grill. A grill can be changed, but the design, long hood, short deck, it kind of has like a Jaguar, the new F-Type, that kind of a, if I could give you for your mind's eye, picture the old Z car, the 240Z or the 280Z, whatever you want from that era, the 70s, and bring it forward, and it could be rounded off just a little bit to look like the Jaguar F-Type. And then, you know, shape it back to making it look like a Z again, and that's what you got. I think they did an awesome job. Now, do I like everything about it? Not everything, but I think that for its beginnings, for it's like today, the vehicle was born earlier this week to the world, and that what they showed us is got potential, unlike some of the vehicles.
I think the back end looks more like the 300ZX,
yeah,
because it's got that light kind of bar going across the back end. Somebody else said it looked like a Mustang in the back, which I think it does. And I understand the design concept, because when you have an iconic vehicle like the Z, you can only keep changing it so much until it doesn't look like itself anymore. And I think the new the previous 370 got so out of hand that it wasn't looking like a Z car anymore. So I can see that they scaled it back.
Right.
But this kind of looks like they took the back end of the 300ZX and they stuck it on the front end of the 240. And it just isn't working for me.
Come on!
It's not. It just doesn't. It doesn't do it for me. It just doesn't.
But you know,
I know this is still a concept, right?
Right. I'm only seeing pictures. So until I see the car in the street in the wild, I don't know. But I mean, my first impression was not like when I saw the Mustang Mach-E. I went, you know, and you kind of went, hey, that looks good. And I'm like, so we have differing opinions on certain things, as we should, because I have an old man's butt and you have an old lady's butt, I guess. But I'm not letting go of this. It's the end of the show. Believe me, I'm sinking my teeth into it. Anyway.
Be careful about sinking your teeth in the butt.
That's for sure.
But okay. You know, the grill, it's just, it looks like an old Japanese car.
Yeah.
And that's cool if that's the look you're going for, but it doesn't work.
Well, I happen to own an old Japanese car, Toyota Supra, that it looks more like an old German car. Or a new German car.
You know, I always tell people, when you talk about design, there's a circle, a square, a triangle, a rectangle. There's only so much you can do with it, right?
Yeah.
So.
I know. Back to Volkswagen for a moment. You said Volkswagen's got a couple of vehicles going to be shown here pretty quick.
Yep. In about a week, they're going to show the new VW ID, which is their van reveal. Kia's got the new Sorento coming out next Tuesday. VW's Taos, their new midsize crossover, they're going to be debuting that in, I think, early October or mid-October. So it's interesting because everybody's showing their cars virtually, which is kind of cool. We don't have to travel anywhere and go to any auto shows, but we get to see the reveals. It's not the same as being there in person.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
No.
But it's kind of cool that they're still introducing the vehicle.
I know. I've been sitting around so much, you know, not to overtalk the butt, but I got stretch marks on my butt from sitting in my chair working instead of being out testing cars.
I agree. We got to get some cars.
It's a good thing the show's over, isn't it?
Yes.
My head is up my butt right now. And I tell you, it's an old man's butt. All right, enough. The network's calling me in my ear. Enough. Okay. The show's over anyway. Thank you, BJ.
Thanks, Alan.
You do not have an old person's butt.
No comment.
We'll see you guys next week. Be back same time, same channel, sitting here on this old man's butt. See you next week.
Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your...
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.